Hello again, everybody. A few years ago, I think it was a couple of years ago, I brought a series of sermons on the heart of the matter. And if you remember, we looked at the heart of several Bible personalities. We looked at the heart of Abigail, Josiah's tender heart, I think, and David's heart was one of them. But tonight, I'm going to pull a message out of the heart of the Bible, if you will. This evening, I'm going to do something that I very seldom do when I bring a lesson, and that's we're going to read the entire section of our text, of our target text. And I ask you to bear with me and follow along as we read that entire section. So, read with me, if you will, the 117th Psalm. It says, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud Him, all you peoples. For His merciful kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord," the psalmist says. That's it. That's the entire reading of the 117th Psalm. But there's three distinctions I think I want to make out of this psalm. First of all, it's the shortest chapter in the Bible. It has two verses, as we just saw. It's only got 30 words in it. But it's the shortest chapter in the Bible. Secondly, it's only two chapters away from the longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119. Now, Psalm 119 focuses on the truth of God's Word. It encourages us through every generation to stay close and focused on His Word no matter what happens in our life. And living in the freedom and the knowledge of God's ways, obeying His laws above everything else, and keeping in step with His commandments, that's the only way for us to live truly wise and strong lives. God's Word is powerful. It's living, it's active, it never changes because He never changes. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. Psalm 119 reminds us that God's very character is reflected through His Word. He is righteous, He is faithful, He is true, He is unchanging. And the first two verses in Psalm 119 remind us that we are blessed as we walk in His truth and seek Him with our whole heart. And I'm just going to read those first two verses in Psalm 119. "How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe His testimonies, who seek Him with all their heart." And the third distinction of Psalm 117 is that it is the geographical heart of the Bible, if you will. There's 594 chapters that precede Psalm 117, 594 chapters following Psalm 117. What a great place to position a small chapter that its entire focus is on praising the Lord. And Psalm 117, it's a part of a collection that is strapped together from Psalm 113 to Psalm 118. And in the Hebrew, they're called the Hallel, or the praise, it's called. And the Hallel is what the Jews would sing during their feast and their celebrations. Before a dinner or a feast, they would sing Psalm 113 and 114. And then after the event, they would sing Psalms 115 through 118. And if we reference back to when the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper in Mark chapter 14 or in Matthew chapter 26, we'll look at Matthew 26 verse 30. "And when they sang, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." We're told that Jesus and His disciples sang a psalm or a hymn after the meal before leaving for the Mount of Olives. And this hymn was most probably the Hallel that we just talked about. And Jesus, like any other Jew in the first century, they would have known how to chant the psalm in Hebrew, especially the famous Hallel Psalms, which were an integral part of the Passover. It's very possible and most likely that the very words that we're going to look at this evening are the words of the song that Jesus and his disciples sang that day. We just read it, two short verses, 30 words. And the problem with these short chapters like this is it's easy to just to blow right over them. It's easy to, you know, to read them real quickly and move on to the next verse. But and in this sermon this evening, we may be a little shorter than normal, but we're not going to blow through Psalm 117. Every word, although there's only 30 words, every word that it's breathed from God, and it's important to us. And let's read the Psalm 117 again. You're going to know this psalm before we get through tonight. Psalm 117. This is from the New King James Version. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud Him, all you peoples, for His merciful kindness is great towards us. And the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. And now, I want to compare it and read it from the New American Standard Bible. He says, praise the Lord, all nations. Laud Him, all peoples, for His loving kindness is great towards us. And the truth of the Lord is everlasting. Praise the Lord. This is an invitation of all non-Jews, and all nations, and all peoples to praise the Lord. The pronoun in verse 2, us, indicates that it's coming from Israel, a nation reflecting on the divinely achieved triumphs that's in their history. And they are reaching out to all nations to praise the Lord. I want us to first look at two words in that first verse, the words praise and laud. When you look at this verse in the Hebrew, these two words, they're very similar, but they have different meanings. Within the same scope of praise, their meanings are slightly different. The word praise in verse 1, the very first word, that's the word hallel, and that's where we get our word hallelujah. And let's look at the word hallelujah. Hallel means praise, and the last part of hallelujah, it's shortened form of the word for Yahweh, or God. Praise Yahweh. Praise God. And the scribes, they would spend a day when they would copy Scripture. And what they would do, they would copy a section of Scripture and they would call a rabbi over to check them before they would move on. And Ryan mentioned this last Sunday evening. They would also, when they came to the name Yahweh, it was so important to them and had so much meaning that when they came to the name Yahweh, they would stop and they would go through a ceremonious washing or cleansing before they would continue. And then the next time they came to the word Yahweh, they would do the same thing. It meant so much to them. That's how special the name was. Hallel means praise the Lord, praise Yahweh. So the word praise in verse 1 there is hallel, or to praise. But it doesn't just mean to praise as we might think. It means to praise in a loud, I won't, just short of clamorous way. Well, how loud would you should we hallel, you might ask? If you looked it up if you looked up loud or clamorous for synonyms, you get the words like booming or blasting and clamorous, deafening, ear-splitting, something along that connotation. It's saying praise the Lord so that others who don't know about praising the Lord, that they take notice. That's kind of the connotation. And He's worthy of that, isn't He? And the secondary description of that, if you find it in a lexicon, is also to burst out or to flash forth with praise. It's like a praise that you can't hold in. You're bursting out with praise. Perhaps that's a better way for us to describe it. And let's look at that second word, laud. It comes from the Hebrew word shabak. And this isn't the loud praise like we just talked about in Hallel, but it's more of a soothing, a more commending praise, if you will. Have you ever had a little one who did something praiseworthy? And you call them up into your lap And with a gentle hug, you say, you're such a good child. I'm so proud of you, or something like that. Some kind of a heartfelt praise for a little one. A soothing, heartfelt praise. But that's what this means. Have we ever praised God in this way? Have we ever had a prayer and we said, oh Lord, you're so good. Oh God, you're so good. Oh Lord, you're so merciful, and I thank you for your kindness and for your mercy and for your patience with us. It's those kind of thoughts and sentiments of the meaning of the word. And when I think of those, I think about when we offer our prayers. That's how we praise God in our prayers often. So we have two different forms of praise here. Our praise should be bursting out like we can't hold it in. And we should also praise Him in a way that simply thanks Him for who He is in a little more soothing way. Recognizing His love for us and thanking Him for that. Praising our God who is worthy to be praised. It says, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles. Laud Him, all you peoples, for His merciful kindness is great towards us. That's so true, isn't it? I'm sure that all of us, at sometimes we've lost our temper. We've lost our temper and our fuse has gotten short, and we get to a point and we say, that's it, I can't take it anymore. And we blow up. For some, the release is yelling. For some, it's storming away. And regrettably, for some, and sad to say, it's hitting or some physical abuse. But we get to this point and we say, that's it. I can't take any more. Isn't it wonderful that's not our Lord in the New Testament times? And aren't we? Isn't it wonderful that when God said, that's it, He said, that's it, but I'll send my Son to die on the cross because they can't help themselves. For His merciful kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. What truth? The truth. His gospel. His merciful kindness. The merciful kindness that says, I don't want these people to endure my wrath. The wrath that John wrote about in John chapter 3, verse 36, where he says, He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. But today, His merciful kindness is extended to us through Jesus Christ, who died so that we can live. All because God is merciful. And the truth of the Lord endures forever. That truth endures forever. That blood still saves today. The gospel is still powerful today. And God is still merciful and kind to those who will turn their hearts to Him. And that takes us back to the very first part of verse 1. Because He is merciful, because He is kind, because His word will always be true. Because of all of this, we should praise the Lord. There is none other who saves you. Nobody else has treated you like Jesus Christ treated us. No employer, no son, no neighbor, no daughter. No one has treated us like Jesus has treated us. None of those others can save us. Only Jesus Christ can save us. In Romans chapter 15, verse 7, we see the Apostle Paul. He's quoting from this short, tiny psalm in the Bible. From the very heart of the Bible, Paul is going to reach in and show us God's heart. Beginning in Romans chapter 15, verse 7. He reads, therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us. Excuse me. To the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision of the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy, as it is written. For this reason, I confess to you among the Gentiles, and sing to your name. That's a quote from 2 Samuel chapter 22. And verse 10 he says, and again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. That's a reference to Deuteronomy chapter 32. And in verse 11 he says, again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Love him, all you peoples. And that's the reference to our 117th Psalm. So we see both uses of it again. We see the use of the Hallel, and we see the use of the Shabbat in that. The praising in a loud manner and the praising in a commending, a thankful manner. Many have the opinion that showing emotion in a worship service is disrupting. And it can be. It can be that. But sometimes I think we're too stoic in our worship service. There are many times when an amen is warranted, and there's many times that an amen is even needed. But we remain numb and passionless to the point that there's not even any emotion in our facial expressions, which y'all can't see. I can see them up here. But there's not even any emotions in our facial expressions. If we're stoic in our outward appearance, is our heart stoic as well? A heartfelt amen can be very encouraging and uplifting at the right time. In Paul's letter to Timothy in chapter 2, he's advising Timothy on the prayers and the supplications of men. And in verse 8 he says, I desire therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And the psalmist writes in the 134th Psalm, he says, behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Now, this actual lifting up of hands towards God, it's an expression of supplication and petition. And it was a very common occurrence in the Old Testament. Also in the synagogues in the early church. But it wasn't a wild, disrupting, raising and waving of hands. When these hands were held up before God, they were to be the expression of a pure heart, a sincere heart, a good conscience, and an unhypocritical faith. Not for show, not for distraction, and most certainly not leading to any kind of irreverence. A heartfelt amen must be an expression of the same pure heart, the same sincere heart, and the same unhypocritical faith. It says, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud Him, all you peoples. For His merciful kindness is great towards us. And the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. The Lord is kind to His creatures and merciful to us as sinners. Hence, He is merciful and kindness to us as sinful creatures. He's kept His covenant and His promises that in the seed of Abraham's all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And He will eternally keep every promise. In His attributes, He is always faithful. In His revelation, He's always infallible. And in His actions, He is always according to His promise. Yes, the 117th Psalm is the shortest chapter in the Bible, sandwiched in the middle of 194 chapters preceding and 194 chapters following. And from that text of the Bible, we find a message that's very short in length, only 30 words, but exceedingly large in its spirit and in its message. It crosses all bounds of nationality. It crosses all bounds of race, calling for all of mankind to praise the name of the Lord. And I hope that when every time that we meet together as brothers and sisters in Christ, that that is what we do with a sincere heart, with a pure heart, with a good conscience, and an unhypocritical faith. That's our lesson for the evening. If anybody needs any help from the brothers and the sisters here, we stand ready to help you. If you need some help, come forward as we stand and sing the song John has selected.